get the tape started. Maybe it'll help me clear it up a little bit. January 16th, 744, 2010. Who else is in?
It's me.
I'm surprised Shipple and the Daves aren't in yet.
Well, I got in early and listened to the music.
Okay. Well, we got a hell of a handprint I just got in the mail.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. The Lunacy of John McCain.
The what?
The Lunacy of John McCain, Senator from Arizona. Oh, this is gorgeous. Right into my friggin' plan. Hello.
Shipple here, sir. Little Dave, too.
Okay. Eric is in with me and you.
I gotta tell him.
How long do you keep doing this? That was a false alarm earlier, sir. It was AIU. Some kind of college for Kathy.
Oh.
I apologize about that, sir.
Oh, not a problem.
I'm going on mute, sir.
Okay. We knew John McCain wasn't all he was cracked up to be. Now we've got a good one on him. His ass has to go along with the rest of them. By the way, I got in your suggestions. They're right on the nose.
That's what I came. I'm not going to keep on going, but I kind of thought those were up on my list anyway.
Well, they are. As a matter of fact, when I read through all of them, all of you have come up with a specific point that has to be addressed. But, hello?
Fuck, Ernie here.
Oh, hi, Ernie.
Hi, Jenna.
The Daves and Eric are in.
Okay.
Everybody has come up with specifics that are necessary, too. But about 90% or thereabouts, rule of the thumb, all of you are hitting the same target. You're seeing the same thing pretty much the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I'm concerned, that's exactly what we need, because that's what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing a great mystery out there. I'm seeing the same kind of socialist horse shit you people are. Hello.
Bark, bark, bark. Kitty here.
Oh, okay. The first lady into the fold. Well, hello.
Shiloh in, and Diane will be in shortly.
Okay. Well, you and Kitty, the Daves, Ernie, and Eric.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Shiloh.
Hey, you.
And we have a nice agenda tonight.
Good.
Just got a hell of a handprint in the mail. The Lunacy of John McCain. That's as good a way as any to open the training. But he's really got himself open. We can't wait 6 years to get rid of him or Reed either. We've got to recall both of them. Got to throw their ass out. That's all there is to it. And a few more. Fortunately, we've got enough information now to know exactly what the next political moves are going to be. Hello.
Hey, Jesse's here.
Oh, hi, dear. Got the Shiloh and Kitty, the Daves from Florida, Ernie, and Eric from California. So we're getting a crowd.
I'm going to mute.
Okay, honey. I don't think there's anything wrong with me that a cold beer wouldn't assist magnificently.
You mean you're out, sir?
No. I got plenty. Yeah, I'm not even into the reserves yet. Is that someone got disconnected?
I think someone just came in.
Sounded like it. Hello.
Yeah, I got knocked off.
Oh, okay, honey. Hi, Gerald. How you been?
Oh, hanging in there. Just barely, but I'm there.
We've missed you on the last few.
Yeah. I've been practicing, though.
Well, that's the main thing. These sessions help, but they're not the game. You got to do the game. Hello.
Hello.
Ah.
Ha. Huh.
Is that me again?
That's me again. You know, I got a email from Eric with something on there saying stream PLS, but I can't open that file. Do you know what that is?
It's just an audio document. You should have Winamp or some type of media player that should open it.
I did. It opened it, but I couldn't find it. I'll look for it again.
Yeah, you might have to install Winamp on your computer to hear it.
Oh, I've got... no, I have Winamp. I have everything on here. I'll try it again. What is that, by the way?
It was today's show on Alex Jones.
Oh, okay.
First day in.
Oh, we got a pretty full house. I don't know whether Rosie's going to be in tonight or not. I think she has to work, doesn't she, Kitty?
Yeah, she's working tonight, but Coco should be in.
Yeah. Oh, we got one hell of a handprint. Never thought I would even see this one, but there it is in all of its glory.
What is it?
The lunacy of John McCain.
That, good.
That's the title of it. And when you good. Read it, it's lunacy.
Good. I could never stand that man.
Well, the fact that he was a war hero doesn't hold that much weight when it comes down to being loyal in office. Duke Cunningham was a whore, or a war hero too, but they nailed his ass for embezzlements and sent him to jail. And they just did the same thing with Delay, but they should have really nailed his ass a bit tighter. Why they let Rangel walk is beyond me.
Well, you know, somebody's got to be a token.
Oh, yeah. Someone's got to be the patsy, I guess. Hello.
Hi, it's Coco.
Ah, there you are, dear. Well, that's about all I expect in for tonight. If we've got a full house. And it's 8:58, so I don't imagine that anyone will give a damn if we get started. But we got a hell of a hand. Hello?
Denny.
Oh, hi, Denny. We're just getting started. We got a hell of a handprint. I got it in from Tea Party Nation, called The Lunacy of John McCain. I'll just read this news release. It's not that long. John McCain represents everything that is wrong with the Republican Party. He acts more like a liberal Democrat than a Republican. In fact, a few years ago, he actively toyed with the idea of switching parties. Had he done so, we might have been spared the Obama regime. McCain has been leading the charge for amnesty, except, of course, when he needs the people of Arizona to reelect him. He has led the charge against the First Amendment. Now, his latest bit of lunacy is a comment he made in an article in the Washington Post. McCain said, quote, "I disagree with many of the president's policies, but I believe he is a patriot sincerely intent on using his time in office to advance our country's cause, unquote.
Is this like Napolitano's decision this week to take down the virtual border fence?
I think, right. You know, that has John McCain totally lost touch with reality? Barack Obama, a patriot? Yes, and I'm the Pope. Obama is intent on using his time in office to advance our country's cause. When? When he assaulted the rights of Americans, when his regime tied brand patriotic Americans as extremists, when his regime tried to take over the internet, when they tried to impose a, quote, fairness doctrine on the only media conservatives dominate, when they tried to shove a socialist agenda down the throats of Americans, despite overwhelming proof that Americans did not want this. How about when he went out apologizing to every third world tyrant for America? How about when he bowed to foreign leaders? What about when Obama's regime put oil business in the Gulf out of business? What about when Obama was squandering America's wealth at an amazing rate? Was destroying our economy a patriotic act? How about refusing to secure the border? Was that a patriotic act? Patriotism is something that is not unknowable or even not immeasurable. If John McCain claims Obama is a patriot, may we see some evidence of this patriotism? Perhaps he might actually act like he loves this country. Of course, he would ask the same for John McCain. If Obama were simply incompetent, we might expect that he would occasionally get something right. What we see from Obama is not an incompetent fool. He knows exactly what he is doing. From being raised by a mother who hated America to associating with American-hating communists in his youth, he graduated to communists. America-hating professors in college and associated with America-hating political groups until it looked like he might actually go somewhere in his political career. Obama is no patriot, and neither is McCain. McCain's supporters always point to the years he spent as a POW in Vietnam. He did serve his country in ways most of us cannot imagine, but that does not give him a free pass for the rest of his life. Obama hates America, and that is obvious. Why John McCain aids and abets this may end up being one of the great mysteries of life.
I got a question, General.
Yeah.
Since he's a patriot, does that mean he needs a Patriot Act or a Patriot Missile?
Well, that's the quest. The Patriot Act, of course, he voted for. But being a Patriot Missile, you'd hope that mist would blow on the launching pad. But this is typical of what we've got right now in political America. This is typical, not exceptional at all. We went to the Republican convention and watched Heather Wilson, New Mexico's foremost communist, throw her hat in the ring to run for Senate against Jeff Bingaman, a Democrat, in 2012. But she's a goddamn communist, the rhino that we threw out before. And there's a bunch of us that will not vote for Heather Wilson under any conditions. But yet she's going to be in there, and she's got the one world government money to buy the party. She got a couple of her puppets elected to the county central and to the chair as officers. So now we have a small problem here, but there's dozens of problems exactly like ours around the country now that we know what the hell their strategy is. The one world government is trying to suck in the Tea Party, and that's the term, so that they will fall into the lines by mouthing one thing, getting in office, then doing another, just like the Democrats did. Well, I'm afraid we're not going to let that happen. There'll be a few slip by because some of our people will just go jackass instead of doing the job.
No,
but we want to take the entire Republican Party.
We need to take a picture of this Obama's ass.
Do what? We need to take the entire Republican Party and treat it like the goddamn traitorous party that it is. Now, we don't want the Tea Party, in the meantime, to join itself as a organized party like the Democrats or Republicans. That creates a problem that we damn well don't need. But we also don't want the Tea Party to join the Republican Party. We want Tea Partiers to join both parties and raise hell and hold everybody's feet to the fire against their violations of the Constitution. Now, there's a lot of Tea Parties that are primarily independent, registered independents. That's the way we want to keep them. But those that are in the parties, Democrat or Republican, have to vote the Tea Party line when it comes down to selecting candidates, getting them endorsements, and what have you. We have to pound the hell out of them that way. And then when we get someone like Heather Wilson here, or in the case of McCain and Reid, we need to have both of them recalled. McCain for just plain up jackass, Reid for voter fraud, which shouldn't be too hard to do if we get in there and hammer the hell out of it. They bust in 500,000 illegals to vote for McCain. That's voter fraud. So he shouldn't be too hard to crack, or Reid rather. But McCain now is a little bit different. He has a lot of firepower and a lot of influence in Arizona. You're not going to get him recalled easily. But if we stay on him and let him step far enough out of line, like this crackpot statement, we can really do a package on him. We can get him the hell out. But the trouble we have that goes along with that is, who are we going to replace him with? If we're going to hang somebody out of office, we damn sure had better have someone to replace them that, one, is electable, two, knows what in the hell we need, and three, will go for it.
Question.
Yes.
Can we use Hillary's pioneering of migrant candidate rule, since it is a...
I didn't understand. You use Hillary Clinton's what?
Migrant candidate rule, where the candidate can migrate from anywhere and become a U.S. senator. Can we use that rule?
No, we want rid of that rule.
Okay.
What we probably should do is do what we did to Bush. Go stupid. Let him go stupid.
Now that works.
Yeah, that worked like a charm, but that's how it happened.
Well, we haven't done it yet. but we need to take them individually, turn them stupid, including Reid. We've got to make Reid so stupid that he blows his own cover for the criminal way that he got himself back in office. That's what we have to do with him. But McCain has got a lot of sympathy, and especially the fact of his war record, which no one can take that away from him. You know, he is a bona fide war hero. There's no question.
How far can you ride that train?
Well, he's been riding it ever since he entered politics, and now he's on the wrong side of the fence. He's in violation of his own oath. He should be on the Senate floor demanding Obama's birth certificate.
Oh, hell, every one of them who took an oath to support the Constitution of the United States, as in protect and defend, has a problem with their oath.
True. Right now, McCain is one of them. And he has a lot of public influence because of this. they thump the drums about him all the time. So he's not going to be a throw an off switch and disappear on us. That one is not going to happen, I guarantee you. But now, once we get who we're going to be after, if that's the case, and target them directly, and I think stupid is one of the best ones, I still have to laugh when Jean Marie, Diane, and Shilone put the stupid on George Bush. That son of a bitch went from a straight-out liar to a blithering idiot at every friggin' move. Everything he did after that was just one layer of stupidity after another. So we know that it works. And let's face it, Obama hasn't been exactly a goddamn ball of brilliance since the girls put the hammer in him. He makes mistake after mistake, but we have to make him make the kind of mistakes that'll take him out of office. And the best one, of course, is to stay on the birth certificate. Make him have to present it. But when he does, it's phony. He doesn't have one. He's an illegal president. And that automatically undoes everything that he signed into law.
There are some laws coming into focus in different states saying you can't run for office unless you can prove with a birth certificate.
Well, that will be fine for 2012, but that leaves him a legal president till then.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
No. No, we have to get him out now.
The Constitution is clear. We demand that it be abided by. And we're going to have to do that one. While we take these guys and make idiots out of them, we're going to have to take the Constitution separate from the Declaration of Independence. While we consider them both holy documents, the Declaration of Independence is not legal law. The Constitution is. So we have to take them separately. And we take the Constitution, and I hope everybody has read it by now. If not, do so, because it's one hell of a document. It really is. And we put it in force. If you enforce the Constitution, you get rid of a lot of bullshit, a lot of socialist stuff going in the door. One of them is the idiocies of gun control. No one talked about the fact that some of the people in Arizona where the shooting happened were armed in the crowd. But once this guy was captured and down, some of those people did not draw their weapons in because they didn't need to. Well, that's the responsible citizen. But then this other idiot that got tagged started threatening a Tea Party commentator at one of the television shows or something. And, of course, now they've lodged him in a loony bin. I mean, how stupid could he get? The Tea Party had absolutely nothing to do with that shooting. It was a false flag, a setup from word go, and it's a damn wonder the shooter's alive even at this stage in a game. Because the name of the game there was for him to kill the judge, then they would burn him down, and that would be the end of it. And we'll thump the drums for more gun control, is what the idea was. The judge, 72 hours before they blew him away, had signed and made a court decision against Obama. He was to be an example of not to do that. So they watch and collect these guys, and then they expend them as they need to, because then they have a record of instability and what have you. But they can implant him, and he's implanted. And they had him on two triggers. One, he had to see the judge. And two, he had to hear a keyword of some kind to set him off. So when he shot the congresswoman, the next thing he shot was the judge. So he was set there. And it's all evidenced by the fact that within 1 minute of this shooting, they called 911 and the response team was on the damn scene. Now think about that for a minute. You've got a shooting of any kind, and nobody at that stage, according to what transcripts they've released, knew that it was a congresswoman yet. They just knew that somebody had been shot, and they knew where. Now, stage two. You've got to put a team together. They had to call ambulances. They had to have backup for the police, everything else. When you've got a shooting, you don't know whether it's a lone gunman out there by himself, whether he's going to hold up or what. So you have to have SWAT and everybody else ready to move. And they did before the shooting. That's the part that tells you it was false flag. Now, if you get back to the Constitution where everybody is armed, the government can't do a lot of that shit because there'd be just too goddamn many of us say, no, you friggin' will not. And that's the end of it. So, if we get the Constitution put back in order, we get rid of Obama and all other illegals like him. At any time we find people in violation of their oath, we can enact whatever laws are necessary to recall them, because every state doesn't have a recall provision in their state constitution, but we can get it, and get it nationwide, all 50 states, and then we can remove the bastards. And those that won't go peacefully can go in pieces. Won't matter to me a bit. So if we have all of our ducks in a row, I don't have all the strategy figured out so that I can spell it out so everybody will have a handle on it yet. I've got it figured out in my mind. I just got to sort it and put it together for you. Of what we're going to do for this particular part of the problem. This is only one part of the problem. This is the political agenda. We've got a religious agenda that has to deal with both angels and demons, and then we have a survival agenda which deals with the Nephilim. And they're going to be mixed here, there, and yonder, because the Nephilim are very good at that. Are there any questions up to this point?
Who are the four beeps that happened in the last 10 minutes?
Who's what?
Who are the four beeps in and out that happened in the last 10 minutes?
Oh, I don't know. We had about five chain callers in last night. So it may be some of them. Maybe our own.
Well, I have a question.
Okay.
Where does the economics and food supply and all that fit in, and the political?
As a matter of fact, that comes under economic and political, because most economics is political, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, well, economics is running the politics.
Right, and in order for us to get the sufficient library to know what that is and how it works, who's doing what out of holy law and what have you, you have to write your version of, or your own copy of holy law. Now, when you get into writing your copy of holy law and you read it as it goes, it begins to make a whole hell of a lot more sense what we've been talking about all along, and especially as it applies to the tribe of Levi and the tribe of Judah. You begin to see their deliberate violations of their own holy law. And then they get a job in government as a judge or some goddamn thing and enforce the Talmud, which is exactly what would happen if we let the Muslims get in and start sitting on the benches. You'd have Sharia law. And we know it for a fact because that's exactly what the goddamn Levites have done with our courts and stuff as soon as they got in and started getting any influence in it, whether it be the attorneys general of the states or the counties or district attorneys or whatever. We find that a Jew is a Jew is a Jew, and especially in that profession, for the want of a better term, and there's not a hell of a lot we can do about them individually. We have to attack them as a group, expose them, and remove them. And the only way you can do that is by expanding the truth about holy law. But before you can go tell someone to start obeying holy law, you have to know what in the hell's in it yourself. So that when you hear one of these mealy-mouthers come out with Talmud instead of Torah, you'll know it, and you can nail their ass, but you've got to know that holy law first. And it's a requirement in holy law that everybody should write their own copy. So we have to be in compliance with holy law as well as we do in obedience on all the other parts. We can't just blast off incoherently. That won't work. And I think, and I don't know why I just have this hunch, once everybody gets through holy law, even if you read it once, you've got a bit of a handle. Everything we're talking about suddenly begins to come to the fore. But when you write it, you pick up all the details that you missed before. And not only is the devil in the details of everything else, the truth is in the details of holy law. And when you get into it like it's supposed to, and everybody is required to do, these politicians and manipulators, Jews and all, are not going to be able to get around you. They can't escape.
Flip it up.
Someone's got a mic open.
Otherwise, I don't see one. Okay.
Dave, put your phone on mute.
Hello? Somebody just come back in?
Yeah, it's Jesse. I keep getting knocked off.
Oh, okay. Nothing unusual there, honey. Cack Jews on the telephone really systems, too. Okay, at this stage, are there any more questions about it? Okay. Then let me see if I can start from the top down. I don't think Pete got in tonight, did he?
I don't think so. I think he's in his study group, and he usually doesn't get done until about 9.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're a senior. You've got a comment?
No, sir. I think it's going to be a very critical issue for everybody to write their own copy.
Well, it is. But we need everyone to do that so that we can all be on the same page. And when we say holy law, we all know what the hell we're talking about, exactly what we mean. And yes, it takes time to do it. You're not going to sit down in an hour and write out your copy of holy law. But you're never going to get it done if you don't get started on it and write when you can. Reading it is as preferable as writing it, but you have to know what in the hell you're reading in the process too. It's not a simple by any stretch of the imagination. Since Roz is out, she would be the next female senior. Dave, if you can get back in, have you got a comment?
What, sir?
Do you have a comment about this for the moment? You're up.
Not at the moment, sir, but in my move last year, I have one cardboard box of a bunch of holy stuff in it, including older copies that you signed of the AED,
mm-hmm.
plus my holy law that I started,
yep.
that I've written down, plus the holy law that I gave definitions to. I cannot find that box unless it's in the warehouse.
Well, that very well could be where it's at.
Or there's some jackassing going around.
But always, bank on it, always are jackass.
Well, let me go to the warehouse this week, sir.
Okay. Eric, you're a senior?
No, I don't have anything to add to that.
Oh, okay. Diane, are you recovered enough?
Yeah, not at this time, thank you.
Okay. Gerald?
No, sir, not this time. I've read the Holy Law, but I have not started my writing, but I will.
Oh, okay. Coco?
No, sir, in the process of working my Holy Law.
Okay. Ernie?
I'm in the process of writing it now, but I've read the whole thing already.
Okay. That's good. Denny?
Read it more than once, got some of it written down. My hieroglyphics are horrible. Is it required handwriting or can typing suffice? And that's an honest question for me. My older brother's a doctor. I learned writing from him.
If you saw my signature or a page of it, you'd think I taught every doctor on the planet.
Yeah, I've seen this one that looks like a combination of a code and everything else.
Yep. Jesse?
Yeah, that was me getting knocked off again.
Have you got a comment, sweetheart?
Is it my turn?
Huh?
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mine's kind of a simple question, I would guess. What's the best version of the Bible to use for writing our holy law?
Standard Old King James Version. But the older, the better. The new... The new revised something or other, the gender neutral, was written by a bunch of lesbians.
Mm-hmm. With the new revised standard version done by the Methodists and Presbyterians jointly.
So just an old copy of the King James Version will bat you 1,000.
Okay. I started doing it, and then I looked and said, what's up with this Bible? Because something was, and so it was like some new international something version. I said, you know, let me, I don't know the Bible that well, but I know that things are not the normal way when I read the Bible, and things were changed. So that's why my question is, the King James Version, that's what I'll pick up.
Yeah. For those of you that like to do research, there's a very good Bible program, and it's free. It's called E, as in Elmer, E-Sword, and it has different versions of the Bible that you can download. It'll take you a little while to do it, but then you can search any one of the copies that you want by just punching them up. We use the King James Version, and then the King James Plus has every word as it was in Greek with an alt tag on it. You put your cursor over it, and it has a number that word is numbered the same throughout the entire script, and it tells you what that word was in the original Greek. Very good study guide.
General, is the... the 613 in the first five books, or the first three, or what, sir?
Well, they're all in the first five books in the Bible, except for the fact that they're also mixed in with a lot of history. That's a part we have to separate a little bit. And then we have to realize that, like the calendar that we have, both the Mayan and the Hebrew calendar started on the same day in the same year, depending on who you're talking to and which clock they were using. It would be August 11th, August the 12th, or August the 13th of 3114 B.C. Now, how the hell they got that one done is beyond me, but they started encoding the calendar then, both for the Mayans and for the Hebrews. Even though they started it then, these things actually go back much farther. Because when you read in early parts of Genesis about Noah's flood, it tells you what day of the month, the whole bit, that the damn thing started, etc. When it ended, well, what kind of calendar was he using if the damn thing wasn't written yet? So this calendar is much older. That's just when they started encoding it. Well, when we get into Holy Law, we find exactly the same thing. What was Abraham being obedient to? Why was his conduct righteous and everybody else's wasn't? What was he obeying that everybody else was disobeying? Well, it was Holy Law. And then when you get down to the point that Dinah, Jacob's daughter, went out and shacked up with everybody in sight, and her two brothers set them up and killed them all, clearly says such a thing should not be done in Israel. In other words, race mixing was bad news there too. And the admonitions and so forth against Holy Law are also evidence when Abraham was in Egypt and the Pharaoh took his wife. The old man put a stop to it because he wouldn't knowingly let that righteous Pharaoh destroy himself. He wouldn't let him sin, knowing that this was something that ought not to have been done, and got him all restored and what have you. Of course, then they ran him to hell out of Egypt. But the thing was, Holy Law existed then. It just wasn't encoded. So we're not coming up with anything new. As a matter of fact, we've got a long way to go just to catch up on what has been there all these years.
Question.
Yes?
The version that's on the Acuria documents, is that King James? Is that legit to use that to make a copy?
We found those off the line, so I don't know what Bible it was out of. But you will also find, when you read those as guides, and that's the best they are as guidelines, that they're not complete. So that's why you have to write your own.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Was Patrick and Kitty deliberately passed over for a comment?
No. I just hadn't got to you yet, and we got interrupted, and I dropped the ball.
They both outranked me. And I was called.
Nope, I dropped the ball on that one. But I'm sure both of you have something to say. Kitty, you're a senior. You want to fire one ready?
Yeah, I do. I have a comment in the form of since I am writing mine and I've reached the point of Exodus chapter 23, I noticed in one of the laws that the way that it could be a leg up to know these things. I saw that where someone who was caught red-handed in thievery, and the application is whether it was an ox or an ass or a sheep, that the thief would make restitution double.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you kick that up to modern times, and the invocation that we've been using about ill-gotten gains from cat Jew mindset, we've been putting return to rightful owners. Well, if we put return to rightful owners in accordance with Holy Law, which it affects every one of you musicians in our crowd that is due royalties, we all know who stole them and where they went, then you should be accorded that restitution double.
Mm-hmm.
We're missing an entire well, what would I call it? Payback. By not adding in accordance with holy law.
There's also sevenfolds and tenfolds in holy law. Keep looking.
Well, I just said I reached Exodus 20. Okay, Denny, you know so much. You finished it all, okay? Great for you. My point being is that an application thereof just come out of today's efforts that, wait a minute, even our own are entitled to double what they've been robbed of.
Mm-hmm.
And that just fell out of it, and it would make that much of a difference if in our invocations all due ill-gotten gains return to rightful owners in accordance with holy law, then here comes double.
Yep.
To all you royalty, you know, short end of the royalties, and any other means that, you know, you're the bankers that hit your bank account with fees and penalties, you know, monthly charges, you know, stuff that might have been in the fine print, but still under holy law it would be judged as unrighteous usury or thievery. That ought to be able to, in accordance with holy law, come back backwards, because they use your money and invest it and earn interest on it. That ought to be enough. Charging you fees and penalties and things like that. I'm just saying, application, after knowing this, adding that little phrase, in accordance with holy law, and everybody knowing, that means double. Or if you steal an ox, you know, the restitution is times five. You know, if you steal an ox and you kill it, then you replace it with five oxen. You steal a sheep and you kill it, it's replaced with four sheep. You know, did they kill it? Kill your stuff? Then it comes times five or times four. If they stole it and they're caught red-handed, then it's double. Those kind of things. We're looking for return to everybody who's been stolen from, as, you know, judges of the world. So I'm just saying that's the kind of things that I got out of up to what I've made so far in Exodus chapter 20 or 22. I'm up to 22, 3, somewhere in there. So that's my comment is, y'all hurry. We got a lot to do.
Yes, we do.
Hurry in, you know. I'm willing to make full faith work out of this, because it's very clear what kind of useful understanding that's going to be, in addition to upping the power and justification. So I'm done.
Alrighty, Creek.
Yeah, I had actually a question for Charlone. Charlone, you had mentioned the other night you were going to send out or put in the occurring documents something about holy law.
When I get back home and I can do a double check on it, I will be jumping a file that is in order.
Okay. Now, can we also go by the what we find online, the 613 holy laws? Can we go by that, or should we wait for you?
Well, the one that is up there is a translation of them that was put together by a Jewish website, and it's taken from the categorization that an ancient Jewish scholar by the name of Maimonides put together. And he sectioned them off into, I think I counted, what, Bobby, wasn't it 30, I said 32 categories?
I think.
I don't remember exactly. I'd have to go and look at it ex- t- to get the precise information again. And when I got it that particular way from a Jewish website, it was a case in a situation where, you know, they're not in order of how they appear in the Bible. They're in the order of the categories that he put together. So when I started it, and that's the copy that I sent everybody, and Dave, that's the one that you use too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
But since I've initially wrote my copy, Bobby has also suggested and recommended to do it in order. So I did two things. One, I looked for a copy that was already in order, and it's kind of interestingly different. And then I took that same copy that I gave everybody, and I've put them in order again, too. So I don't know which is the best way to do it. I do think that probably the best way to do it is like Bobby did it. I just know that it took him a great deal of time to do it that particular way. And what he did is he literally wrote the first five books of the Bible. That would be a very time-intensive thing for everybody to do. So I'm kind of the opinion to take that Maimonides list and put it in the order that they appear and show up in the Bible and use that one. But Bobby, whatever you suggest and recommend is the way it needs to be done.
Okay, are we using the Old Testament?
Oh, yeah.
King James? Okay.
That is what Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy,
right,
and Numbers is.
Right, gotcha. Okay. So I could just take that Maimonides list and compare it with the Old Testament and put it in order, correct?
Yeah, it tells you where they're found and gives you a chapter and a verse. But you can go look at that and then read a little bit before and some after, and you'll get a context on it.
Oh, okay, okay.
But is it better just to go by the Bible, sir?
It depends. Once you're studying it, sometimes you need to find out what the hell to do as far as planning and husbandry is concerned. Other times you have to know what's going on in the temple. But when you go through it, if you just take it in the order it was given, it gives you a hell of a lot different perspective than bouncing around all over the place.
All right, I'll check in it myself, sir.
So at 10 a day, we're talking 2 months to do them all?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember how long it took me to do mine. Of course, at the time, I was in early grade school learning to write, which didn't help any.
I'm still there.
That's what the Hebrew schools did with the little boys till they were 12 years old. They wrote the full thing.
And the girls up to that age.
Yep.
Then the boys were apprenticed to go to work, and the girls went into the kitchen and the gardens and stuff around the homes. But once everybody gets their version of Holy Law down, you'll find that these nitwillies of the cack persuasion, I guess you could call them, are not going to be able to fool you about anything, and it'll give you a very clear perspective of what the hell we're really about. I would prefer to be teaching people truth and metaphysics than have to be involved in a political firefight and straighten the religious community out to the point that we could avoid the coming slaughter. But that's not going to happen simply because we have these other diversions that we have to put up with too. And again, It backs up in the Levites and Jews' asses. It backs up in Levi first, if that's any comfort. Okay, are there any other great viable questions or comments?
I wonder.
Okay.
You maybe want to do a short answer because I don't know how applicable it is to what we got going on now here. But I'm wondering about holy law as it applies to the Nephilim and on their planet. You know, do they farm?
They farm and replicate and everything else. So they brought the goats and the sheep here directly. There's no fossil record of either one found anywhere in the world. They just showed up. So that gives you a clue. But holy law applies there, but like here, it's mostly ignored.
Well, they're not even planting holy law.
No.
Well, no, holy law, once you start reading it, it requires that every seventh year, every sabbatical year, the field lies fallow. And you, even though some volunteers are going to come up and grow, you don't harvest it in the same manner that you would on the other 6 years.
No, you let it rest.
Well, yeah, you let it rest, and it's still going to grow stuff, but that's where you invite the whole neighborhood and everybody get a sack and just cross the field and pick your fill and then head home. You'd have enough stored up, and you don't harvest it in the same way. Get your, pull your machine out and take everything but the rounded corners and take it to market. This is the sabbatical year. When's the last time any farmer observed a sabbatical year? When's the last time as a society we had a jubilee, which is every 50 years, where nobody does anything?
Zero.
The question is, when will the banks observe it so the farmers can take the year off and not need cash to pay the full banks?
Well, as long as you got the banks run the way they are, never.
Yeah.
Never. And that's the same thing with a 30-year mortgage.
Well,
your mortgage.
The
gotta be paid.
The Hebrews pulled a real fast one in this last Jubilee year, because it's 2 years when you run this one. And what they did to get around the law, they sold the land on a temporary sale to non-Jews, so they could farm it for the 2 years and then buy it back rather than lose the money of the produce for those 2 years, trying to skirt holy law.
How do we know when the Jubilee and the 7 year is?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what year we're on right now.
I think we're in, year two or three of the new bit, because the Jubilee year was, what was it, a couple of years ago, Shiloh?
I suspect that it was somewhere between 2000 and 2003, but nailing that down, even among a lot of Jews and people I've tried to ask, they don't know. But I know it's had to have been once in my life, because I've hit the 50-year mark.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being in the last 10 years too, sir, but I can't pinpoint it.
So how do we observe the seventh year if we have no idea what year we're on?
Right.
That's one of those ones where we just really get to take the Jews and the Levites apart over.
And never, never, never let the Nephilim off the hook.
Never. Let's see if I can find something on it here.
General, I gotta get out. I got a dog eating a pencil.
Okay.
Hi, Denny.
Thanks.
Well, we've been at it for over an hour. I think we've covered a lot of territory. When I get the whole strategy put together, I'll get it to everybody. And,
is it coming some of it out of those lists of priorities that we sent you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, each of you came up with a point or two that has to be considered. But the by and large, 90% of what all of you have sent me is pretty much the same thing as to what we've got to do. So you're not that far afield. When we put that together and take these other points that all of you have raised to put in it, we're going to have one hell of a battle plan.
I do have a question. And this is regarding our battle plan and writing our holy laws. Do we need to have them completed prior to this battle plan?
No, but as soon as possible, the sooner you can get done, the better. You know.
Well, do we want to come up with a deadline for having this done so we can start the next level of instruction?
Well, we may have to, simply because there are some things I can't teach you until you've been through holy law. I'm going to create you a problem where we really don't want any.
Okay, so she'll be, this is what, January? What is today? Today is the 16th. Okay, why don't we have everything done by February 16th?
If everyone can do that, which I doubt, but that's a good target. Let's jump into it, see how many can get it done. Because people that have to work every day are not going to make that deadline, I can tell you now. But that's not the end of the damn world.
No, but it's a start.
It's a start.
It's a start.
Bobby?
Yeah.
Is holy law embedded into our consciousness at birth?
As a matter of fact, it is. That's why the innate will tell you that race mixing is wrong, that homosexuality is bad news, but you have to listen to your innate to hear it. But yes, it will. There's a lot of stuff in the that your innate will tell you. As a matter of fact, when you're reading through and doing your holy law, you'll see when the priests have to do this, that it's done of energy. That's what this thing is about. And you'll recognize it when you see it. It'll rattle a few, but you will. Everybody's innate gets a real boost when they get into their holy law.
Can I make another recommendation?
Yeah.
I found that when I wrote my own copy of Holy Law, there were things that I didn't understand. And because I didn't understand them, what I did is I just plowed through the writing. There was a lot of things that are Jewish words and stuff that we don't necessarily know. And without learning Hebrew or getting hooked up with it, you know, they're things that are really very difficult from our points of view to understand. But get through that part anyway. Just write it anyway. And another thing that, in fact, it was a cousin sent me, and I'll see if I can dig it up, that it might be kind of fun for everybody to do. There was a guy who wanted to kind of poke fun at this, that, and the other. And what he decided to do was live under the terms of holy law for the ones that he could for the year. And his life was a changed life. And it's very interesting for what he's coming from on his side of the story to tell. From our points of view, it's off the scale.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, you know, one of the things that, like, for example, it does say not to mix clothing fibers. And, you know, if those of you really will experience a thing or two, and you're used to wearing polyesters as a for example, and you decide to go with a more natural fiber, you'll notice your metaphysical skill and acumen will just double. With and you don't have to do anything else.
Nope.
You'll see that it just does. And then it'll happen without a great deal of, there's no other effort in it, but you'll find that if you are one who wears polyester and you no longer wear polyester, you'll notice some very awesome and profound differences in what happens. And, you know, let's say that you wanna read a city or something like that. Your read of the city is not only easier to do, but it's clearer to do. And, you know, if you're used to spending 15 minutes, you'll get the same picture in 30 seconds. If you look at how they just in profound understanding, and sometimes it'll happen in some really cool kinds of ways, like I've shared with, I don't know how many of you, like a story, a conversation that Diane and I had. And then you'll understand, the understanding will just jump off the scale, and you'll know more than you know. Because that understanding is just amazing. And you know what? It's really, really very, very fun. And it's very, very delightful and pleasurable to do.
Well, in a little way, you're just being a little bit more in compliance with holy law, and you don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, to talk about holy law is a holy law.
Yes, it is.
So you know, you get to do it and see the incredible benefits of it in very, 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 very easy ways. And, you know, it'll make understanding of invocations easier. It'll make understanding of, you know, the read on things just so much easier. And then from our points of view, for what we have is against the Levites and the Jews, like, for example, there should never be a debt that goes into the seventh year. If they're all to be forgiven. And as a nation, you know, when the CAC Jew, and then when the CAC Jews changed the bankruptcy laws a few years ago and changed it so that you ultimately could never really truly get out from under some of the abominations and atrocities, look at how it's snowballing on people. But who are the bankers? They're Jew and Levites. Then, you know, you can understand, it'll just, Like Kitty is so fond of saying, you know, in the moment, those in the moments are explosively powerful. And, you know, you can come up with a situation that maybe you've never encountered before, and your in the moment of understanding is not measurable without doing the holy law copy. It's wondrous, fascinating, fun. And, you know, it's delightful when you get it all down. But when you have that, and then we hit these targets because they're such abominations, then the library behind everything that we say against it is just off the scale by comparison to what it is. And you know what? Our libraries are pretty damn good.
Yes, they are.
And you know, it really is an exciting thing to do. And you know, like I said, I'll be doing mine again too, but I'll go this time in order. And You know, it's hard to actually fathom into words all of the dynamics that ultimately end up happening when you write it and you just look at the world again, almost like through a child's eyes.
Bobby, are they in order in the Bible?
Pardon?
Are they in order in the Bible?
Yes, pretty much. Not necessarily by all subject. There are some that you'll catch here, there, and yonder. But the foundations, as it comes together, is pretty much in the order of law necessity more than subject. You'll notice that when they get on to say something for the farmers, it gets pretty extensive, and then out of nowhere, sometimes it'll have a historical insert, and that'll seem to throw it a little bit. But that's about it. When you split them up by subject, you'll find that some subjects are covered in different places, but always relative to the history at the time.
You know, another thing that was really pretty interesting, too, is when I started writing my copy of Holy Law, you all will remember that Pete was in law school at the time, and he would make a comment about some thing that he was learning in school. And I found that when he would talk about it, I could truly see the Levitical and the Cacju implications on it and where they were coming from a Talmudic point of view, and why what the Most High said in the AED about the Talmud, that it is not holy law. And you know.
Yep. You will find your innate will work a whole hell of a lot better than it does presently once you know what's in holy law.
Well, let me ask this, too. I was looking ahead just to see what's next. And I noticed in there in Exodus 25, 6, maybe 7 and 8, there are all the instructions to Moses and Aaron about constructing the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of Holy Law?
Yes, it is. Because you make a box like that, and there was some college professor tried to make one, and the damn thing turned into a capacitor. A very high, volatile capacitor that he had to take it back apart to keep it from killing the students while they were trying to build it. So,
okay. So I should write that part too. It's not listed in that 613.
No, those are instructions. It's a little bit like the case where Jacob's sons killed that city and said, "Shall they treat our sister as a harlot?" Well, that's what she was, but they said such a thing, mixing like that, should not be done in Israel, and yet that's not spelled out specifically until you get into Deuteronomy, not to take wives and what have you of these other peoples.
General?
Yes.
I have a question, and it's in reference to holy law. Not to put any Jew to shame, I guess it's Leviticus 19:17, and not to curse any other Israelite. Can you comment on those two?
Yeah, as long as they were in compliance with holy law, that was the case. But the old man himself lit their ass when they got into disobedience.
Eric, what was that first number again? About not to curse, not to something a Jew. Let me look it up. I got my King James right here.
Leviticus 19:17.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as we're living within holy law, that is bad news. That's why I want to get rid of the animosity and all these silly pussy tangents that our people are going through, because it's a violation of holy law. It's a wonder sometimes we don't even get to operate. But when we fall away from holy law, just like they did, tough shit. The old man's going to hammer.
Okay, well, I graduated in Memphis, and my reading skills when it comes down to the Old Testament are severely challenged. It's hard for me to, I'm not joking, I promise you that.
Let me clear that up, Eric, right here and now. And this should give you a clue about that list you're looking at. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. So thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Okay. That doesn't say thou shalt not hate any Jew.
No, but I have a list of 613 holy laws that's been distributed to all of us. And
I'm looking in King James.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons. Okay. That is one of the reasons everybody has to write their own. Because the copies that we got them offline somewhere. And since the Jews are still professing to be God's holy people, what about the Levites? Hell, they were the priesthood. They claim to be God's chosen ones and all that. Well, that's pure unadulterated horse shit. It was Abraham's seed, because of Abraham's obedience, has got to be the chosen people. And that lineage went down with the birthright until Reuben jackassed and hopped in the sack with one of his father's wives, Bilhah, I think, and blew his chance at the birthright. Because then Jacob wouldn't give it to him, and he didn't have to. And he gave it to the two sons of Joseph. So the house of Joseph got the birthright and the name of Israel. And later there's a fight about it because the Jews had the scepter. But it said, but the birthright was Joseph's. Very clear. So we did get a little bit convoluted once the Levite priesthood went jackass and started letting the Jews sell the sacrifices and what have you, and they should not have done that. So once they did that, as Most High said, they sold it in the streets for a farthing as the price of an aged whore for worth and value. You'll find these kind of insinuations, and that's what that one is not exactly what the law has to say. That's why everybody was required to write their own, so they couldn't get sucked in. Well, it says this, like the preacher said, you know. That's all preempted when you get into holy law itself.
And explain again, did I hear you say something that Hebrew is not exclusive of Jew? Did you say Hebrew was all children of Abraham?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So
the word Hebrew simply meant of the descendancy of Abraham, because his name originally was Ibrah, and it can be spelled with an I as well as it can be with an A. And later, we've started putting an H on it, which is silent in some languages. And believe it or not, the only thing we did was compound the problem. Spain was once called Iberia in English, but that was the place, land of Hebrews. That's what that meant. So Ibra, Hebrew, means of the lineage of Abraham.
So the Jews don't have exclusive on that either?
No, they don't. All Jews are Israelites, but all Israelites are not Jews.
But Israelites are Hebrews.
Yes.
And so are Ishmael.
Right.
Well, Bobby, what about those Ethiopians that went back to Israel claiming they were Jews?
Well, everybody would like to be in on the promises made to Abraham. Everybody would like to be in on that, under it, and what have you. But while they practiced Judaism, once they had been the land that the people under Jeremiah had left Israel, you can read about it, when Nebuchadnezzar's troops got in there, Jeremiah was headed for Egypt while he was saying, oh, we can't go to Egypt, the Lord's against us, yappity-yappity. But he had the Ark of the Covenant, and it was housed in a Jewish community there on the island of Elephantine, which is just downwater from the Aswan Dam. And when they began to have a bit of a blow-up there with that part, they took the thing again and moved farther south with it. There was no place else to go. And they went on to an island out in a lake. Now, forget that damn lake's name. And they were there for 700 or 800 years. And then it was moved to its present location at Aksum. Well, there were a lot of people around that maneuvered in and off of that island in Ethiopia that became Hebrews because they knew that ark was not a joke. All the African gods and the abandoned Nephilim and everything else could go straight to hell. They wanted in on it, and rightly so. And the ones that went to Israel are descendants of those people.
Oh.
But they are not Jews. They're like Sammy Davis Jr. They converted to Judaism as a religion, but they are not
right.
Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And neither are the Khazars.
Right. Okay.
So we have that one to contend with, but that's one of the things that we have to know and deliver out of Holy Law. When we're talking about it, we have to know. We can't second guess. We've got to know.
Okay, so we can still use that target date of February 16th.
Yeah.
Because that will give us time to not only write the Holy Law, but also get ready for the next big bomb that we're going to drop.
Right. Because we're going to start on the bomb long before then, but by then everybody should have a handle on it. By the time we get targeted, and I'll have teams, part of it be working on this, part of you working on the other, so to speak. And that will be an immense help for you to know what the hell you're doing and why.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions or whatever? Alrighty, we'll bring this thing to a close. Been a good session tonight. I prefer these rather than having a very stringent hammer down, but in some of these things of Holy Law, we will take our time, and when we can, we will make these training sessions go through the specifics of Holy Law. So we will not only have written it, we will train in it and get a little bit better perspective on it. So if you will start clicking out, I will see how many extras we have aboard.
Okay, Patrick out.
Chevel out.
Katie out.
Eric's out.
Jesse out.
Coco out.
Ernie out.
Bobby, Diane, and I are out.
Okay.
And I'll come over and get the recorder.
Okay.